In the name of Jesus, amen. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Together we just confessed in the creed what the scriptures say, that Jesus will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. Jesus will come again with glory. What's glory? Now, Webster defines it as a high renown or honor won by notable achievements. And I guess that works. But glory is an old word, a word that the Hebrews used. And when they thought of glory, it had to do with weight, to weigh heavily upon, to carry a lot of weight. So, for instance, when God was rescuing Israel from Egypt, God told Moses, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." Pharaoh, you recall, was trying to throw his weight around by slowly killing off Israel. But God told Moses, "Don't worry. Pharaoh's no heavyweight. He's a lightweight, really. In fact, he's no weight at all. And there will come a time when Pharaoh and the Egyptians and even Israel will come to know that it's the Lord their God who is the heavyweight, the one who has all the glory." And what was true then is true today. All the rulers of every nation, the world's mightiest militaries, the heavyweight captains of industry, the economic powerhouses that are too big to fail, who in this world can order around anyone they please, these heavyweights are really no weights at all when it comes to the glory of God. He's the heavy one, whom all the rulers of this world put together are nothing. Their days, like a few handbreadths, fleeting at best. The Lord fills the heavens and the earth. He's the one with all the power and authority. He's all in all. That's heavy. That's substantial. That's glory. And so we said, I believe that he will come again with weight. For God's not one who has been on a diet, giving up his glory, despite how the world views him. He is who he is, and he is the heavy, weighty one. True enough, when he appeared the first time, we didn't see him in his glory. All we saw was a featherweight, a little baby, 6 to 8 pounds at most, despised and not esteemed, as Isaiah says. But when he reappears, we will see just how heavy he really is, for he will come again with glory. So what's it mean to not believe? It's saying, in some way or another, that God's lighter than he actually is. Now, if someone would tell me that I am lighter than I actually am, I'd consider that to be a good thing. But it's not a good thing when it comes to God. Adam and Eve were guilty of saying by their thoughts and their words and finally their deeds that God was lighter than he actually was. And they gave more weight, they gave more glory to the word of the serpent than they did to the word of God. But just as God got glory over Pharaoh, he'll get glory over Satan too. In fact, he already has. And he did it in a way that doesn't look very glorious at all. He did it by his death on the cross. But there will come a point in time when at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the weightiest one of all, and Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And on that day, either to their great joy and excitement or in terror and dread, the living and the dead will, as the psalmist declares, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Usually we talk about that day as Judgment Day. I mean, we just said that he will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. But rather than using the word judgment here, Jesus uses the word separation. He will separate people one from another. Jesus often talked that way, separating grain from chaff, wheat from weeds, and now sheep from goats. Until the last day, though, sheep and goats are all mixed together. The sun shines on both. The rain falls on both, except in California where it doesn't rain. Whether you're a sheep or a goat, it doesn't matter. Both get the same colds and flus and diseases. Both have the same problems. Both die. And both will rise in the resurrection on the last day. And both will be gathered together before the Lord who sits on his throne. And there his weighty glory will be seen by all. And then the separation will take place. Just as he separated light from darkness. In the beginning, he will separate people one from another because separating is what the Lord does, and he not only does it well, he does it right. Right. Because separating is something we don't do very well at all. We separate, but we do it by age, race, income, education, political affiliation. We do it based on the fact, or just based on whether we like someone or not. And every time the Christian church has tried to separate themselves from the world, or sever believers from the true believers in the congregation, they create a terrible mess. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, seated on his glorious throne, he will separate people one from another based on one criteria. And the only criteria is whether one is among those who are blessed by my Father or not. Those who are blessed by my Father are separated out of from all the nations. In other words, there are people who are blessed by the Father amongst all the nations of the earth, and they are placed on his right, the right hand of the king being that position of favor. Remember when the disciples wrongly argued about which of them would sit on Jesus' right hand, who would be Jesus' favored one? Well, Jesus ascended to heaven and is seated in the position of favor at the right hand of the Father. But how does Jesus know who is blessed by my Father? And the answer is, by their works. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Faith and works go hand in hand. But remember this. They weren't blessed by my Father because of their good works. They did good works because they were blessed by my Father, blessed with faith and trust in the saving work of Christ and his cross and his resurrection. In fact, the thought that they were actually doing good and thus were serving Jesus never really crossed their mind. When in the world did we ever see you sick? They asked. They were so confident that their salvation was by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, as the words and promises of Jesus declare, that they were completely free to focus on their attention on their neighbor. On the left hand are those who are cursed. The left hand is the place of dishonor. To the left is the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For the devil and his angels, not for man. God desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But there are those who refuse the grace of God and will not ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the separation that takes place when the Son of Man comes in his glory and with his angels, and when he sits on his glorious throne. And after the separation is complete, the good and evil will no longer be mingled together, and the Lord will look on everything that he has made, and once again it will be like in the creation, very good. So now the application part, right? Which are you? Are you a sheep or a goat? Are you blessed by my Father or are you cursed? Are you a saint or are you a sinner? And so the application often goes, which one am I? Which one are you? And are you becoming more and more a saint every day? Are you really? Dig deep. Of course, answering that question isn't so easy. I mean, true enough, on the one hand, in holy baptism, you were given the Holy Spirit. You were born again. God the Father has adopted you. The Son has put his mark on you, the sign of his holy cross. He has clothed you with the robes of his righteousness. The Spirit of God lives in you. And there are many times when you act like a child of God that you are. You are one of Jesus' little lambs. But there are also those times when the glory of God carries little weight for you. You do as you want. You act as you please. And you do a pretty good job of proving yourself to be a goat. So all that creates a bit of a problem. If it's problematic to separate sheep from goats in this life, the whole separation thing gets personal when it comes to you and me, for it's impossible for us, try as hard as we will, to separate from ourselves the goat that's a part of each of us so that we can be the sheep that we say we want to be. Why, as Paul says, I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. And Paul's not just talking about himself, he's echoing what's going on in me and in you, and in every Christian. Even when by the grace of God we want to do good and resist evil, it's a constant, never-ending battle. You conquer one sin, and your goat side pops another up in its place, and it never ends, at least in this life. We want to be more loving, but only if it doesn't cost us too much. We want to heal the wounds that we have inflicted in others, but we can't swallow our pride and say, I'm sorry. We forgive the one who sinned against us, but we can't separate ourselves from the memories of what was done to us, and the whole thing keeps going on inside of our minds like a dog chasing its own tail. What a tangled mess we are. A tangled mess of sinner, saint, sheep, and goat all in one person. And until the end, that's the way we'll be. So we pray, Amen, come Lord Jesus. In keeping with his promises, we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. We look to the resurrection of the dead when the one who sits at the right hand of the Father reappears in weighty glory together with his angels and sits on his glorious throne. And when he comes, he will do the work of separating as only he can do. True, he will separate the sheep from the goats out there. But probably more important for each of us, he will separate the sinner from the saint in each of us. He will separate that old sinful nature that's always working to separate us from Christ. He will separate that from us forever so that we can enter into the joy of our Master. And on that day, we will know for the very first time the joy of loving the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind and resurrected body. In the meantime, until that last day comes, we will have to live with the tension of what's going on inside of us. But we don't have to live it out without hope. This isn't a battle between two equal powers. Jesus Christ is the weighty one. He's the glorious one. By his death and resurrection, he's already won the war and triumphed over everything that wants to separate you from him. And no matter how desperate the internal struggle between saint and sinner gets, no matter how feebly we resist the spirit of the flesh and act like goats, we have his promise that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So come, you who are blessed by my Father, and receive the inheritance prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And come also and receive a foretaste of the feast that's yet to come, all in the name of Jesus. Amen.